Good morning, church. Well, thank you for coming, and I'm doing some Bible readings this morning. We've picked a couple of readings. They've been a great encouragement to Bob and I over the years. The first one is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The second one is from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news.
This year, Denise and I are looking forward to celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary. But I'll tell you a secret, just between us. When I first asked Denise out on a date, she said no. Yeah, shocking, I know. I first met Denise when she had her own hairdressing salon, and I went along there for a haircut. And after she cut my hair, I asked her out on the date, and she said no. So anyway, about 6 weeks later, my hair had grown sufficiently, and I needed another haircut, so I went back to Denise, and she cut my hair, and I asked her out on a date again, and this time she said no. You see where this is going, right? Anyway, 6 weeks or so later, my hair had grown again, and I went back to Denise, and she cut my hair, and I asked her out on a date again, and this time she said yes. Now, I'm not sure whether she said yes because she could no longer resist the Bob charm or because she just took pity on me, and I'll let you decide that. Maybe we can vote later on. But regardless of that, here we are nearly 40 years later with two beautiful daughters, two terrific sons-in-law, and four amazing, wonderful grandchildren, and a life that has really been wonderful and amazing, all because she said yes. But in our lives have been very blessed. But the reason they've been blessed actually happened a couple of years later. It wasn't just that we met, dated, married, as amazing as that was. You see, neither Denise or I grew up in Christian households. As far as we're aware, we're the only Christians in our families at all. And about 2 years after we'd been married, or thereabouts, through a variety of circumstances, a lovely man by the name of Reverend Richard Andrew came and shared the gospel with us. He talked to us about how much Jesus loved us and what he did on the cross for us, and how we could have a wonderful life connected to God and a vision for the future and a hope for the future. And on the same night, Denise and I said yes, and everything changed. Our priorities changed. We had a hope, a future. We had things that we didn't even know we were missing. Our marriage became better. And we were very fortunate, actually. In our early Christian walk, we went to a very good church, and we heard some terrific sermons. We were given a really good foundation, and we had some terrific preachers there. But, and one of them in particular really assisted us in our walk, and even to this day, the things that he taught us resonated. And I'm delighted that that person, Rod Irvine, is here today. So Rod and Helen are here, and we're just very grateful you could come. So after we'd been married for a few years, we started to get the sense that really we needed to think about, are we serious about this? And we asked ourselves a really important question, which maybe might be a question you'd like to consider. And the question was, do we really believe what we say we believe? Because if we do, we must share it. It's too important and too good to not share. And then we heard a sermon by someone, I can't actually remember who it was, who painted a couple of pictures that really sort of impacted on us. One of the pictures was, he said, look, imagine you get to heaven and God says to you, well done, good and faithful servant, come and share your master's happiness. But then he looks over your shoulder and he says, where are the others? Who did you bring? And then he gave another illustration and he said, imagine you're in heaven and you get a tap on the shoulder and you turn around and someone's just so excited to see you and they throw their arms around you and they say, you know, when I was young, you taught Sunday school and you taught about the love of Jesus and I'm here partly because of that. And then behind them is someone else who's also excited to see you and they say, you gave to World Vision and I was able to go to a Christian school and learn all about Jesus. And then behind them is someone else and behind them someone else. How would that be? And these things really sort of struck Denise and I. And even though we were young Christians at the time and knew very little, we knew we had to share our faith. But we had some challenges. And these are the challenges we had. We were really busy at that stage of our lives. I mean, we were really busy. I had an executive job and I was working very long hours, 50 or 60 hours a week. I was also studying for a master's degree. Why I did that, I have no idea, but I did. I was also on the board of a parent-controlled Christian school, which was very challenging. So my days were really taken up. Denise was also very busy. We had a young family, two young daughters. Denise was working, and she was also captain of Girls Brigade, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's a uniformed, almost like a Boy Scouts, but for girls sort of thing, but a Christian-based one. And Denise had about 140 girls in Girls Brigade. She had 18 year 11 and 12 leaders that she was mentoring. So we were really busy. And it made it very difficult. How would we share our faith? As I said, we were young Christians. We didn't really know a great deal. And possibly like some of you, when in the early days, I really didn't know what an evangelist was. I could barely spell it. And I thought, what's an evangelist? And I remember seeing some people on street corners yelling at passers-by and I thought, is that an evangelist? And then I saw some people on TV with way too much hair product saying stuff and I thought, is that an evangelist? And I didn't really want to be one of them and I didn't really know what to do or how to do it really. And the other thing is that I'm actually an introvert. I'm actually a very shy person. The thought of going up to someone and talking about Jesus was extremely difficult. And Denise too, while Denise is very friendly and an extrovert, standing in front of a group and talking is very difficult for her. So we had a few challenges. So what we did is something that occasionally I do something that makes sense. What we did is we prayed about it. And here was the prayer. It went something like this. Lord, we know that we need to share our faith. We need to share with people all about Jesus, but we don't know how. And also, we're very shy and we don't know much. So, and also we want to do it together because the things we were doing were often separate. So the prayer was, is there some way that we can share our love for Jesus together but not have another night out? Maybe people come to our home and we do it. A day or two later, I had a phone call from one of the ministers in our church. And he said, oh, Bob, there's this course called Christianity Explained, where over six lessons, people come to your home and you talk to them about Jesus. And before he got any further, I said, yes, we'll do it. And I think Stuart was his name. Stuart probably thought, well, hang on, I haven't even got into my sales pitch yet. But that was a very specific, clear answer to prayer. God doesn't always answer so quickly and so clearly, but on this occasion he did. And we said yes. And the way it worked was that Stuart ran a Christianity Explained course and we sat in on it and learned how to do it. And then we ran one and he sat in and encouraged us and gave us feedback. And by the way, that young, dashing minister who taught us all those years ago, and his wife. So Stuart and Sarah are also here as our special guests today. So. So it's had an enormous impact on our lives. We've been doing it for a long time, which I'll talk about in a little while. So all we did is took a step. We knew it was going to be uncomfortable. Right? We knew it was going to be challenging for us, but we also knew that we had to share our faith. And you would have seen in the promo, Christianity Explained is really simple. It's six lessons, usually held once a week. The first three lessons are all about who is Jesus, the Son of God, what he did on the cross for us, his resurrection. And the next 3 weeks are all about, well, what does that mean for us 2,000 years later? What's a Christian? How can I know for sure whether I am a Christian? What do I need to do if I want to be one? And over the years, we have had people from all spectrums do the course. We have had people from parts of the world who've never even heard of God, who know nothing, right through to very experienced pastors come and do the course. And all have learned something. We learn something every single time we run it. But anyway, fast forward a few years, we basically, once we ran that first course, we've run it pretty much every term for 35 years, non-stop. But after we had been doing it for, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, Denise and I thought, well, look, we've been doing this for a long time. Maybe it's time for us to start pulling back and doing some other ministries. I think God had a bit of a chuckle. And what happened was we were running a course, and in that course was a young couple. And the young couple was a Solomon Islander boy and his girlfriend, who was an Australian. And we ran the course, and at the end of the course, this young Solomon Islander boy, who has subsequently become very dear to us, said to us, Bob and Denise, my family don't know any of this. They haven't heard this. Would you come and tell them? And he meant in the Solomons. And we said yes. Had no clue what that meant. My geography is not great. And I knew Solomon Islands was probably a bunch of islands, because it's Solomon Islands. Didn't really know where it was. I knew it was somewhere in the ocean because it's an island. And I also thought, you know, my family, what's that, 5, 6 people? What's that? I don't know. And that was very naive, by the way. Solomon Island families are very large. So what we did is we said yes, and without knowing what that meant, we went to the Solomons. And over the first visit, we ended up going there 4 times, I think. In the first visit, we were able to present the gospel by using this wonderful Christianity Explained tool to hundreds and hundreds of people. We sat in homes with 40 or so people sitting around us, hungry to hear about Jesus. We went to a church and we presented to the church. This church normally got 40 to 60 people. 380 showed up. We gave them all Bibles. People were in tears at receiving a Bible. I wonder if you gave a Bible to an Australian, whether there'd be tears of joy. We had amazing experiences. And then later on, we went back to another island the following year, and we had really amazing adventures. We climbed up mud hills and mud mountains. We crossed rivers that later on they told us had crocodiles in them. That was interesting. They built a church for us. They actually built a church for us because we were coming. The church seated about 300. And when we arrived in the village, which was at the top of this jungle hill, there was only about 6 huts around. And we thought, well, why have you built a church for 300 people? But they all came out of the jungles and they came out of the hills. We were the first white people that had ever been there. So what an adventure, all because we wanted to share the love of Jesus and because we said yes. And that's what it's like sometimes. Just by saying yes, your life can change and be immeasurably enriched. So since that time, we haven't slowed down. In fact, it's been the opposite. Lots of things have occurred. We've been running Christianity Explained literally back to back. By the way, don't you ever believe the lie that people don't want to hear about Jesus. It is not true. The world is hungry to hear of the love of Jesus. So anyway, we said yes. And then, that's not the end of the story. Then we met Michael and Marion Bennett. Denise had often said to me that if there was someone she'd like to meet, it would be Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett, the author of Christianity Explained. And we met Michael and Marion, and I'm delighted and humbled to say that Michael and Marion are here today. So it's a real honour to have Michael here, and you know, sometimes when we do something, we don't know where that's going to lead, and you'll hear a bit about that in a moment. I'm sure Michael had no idea that he'll write a course and then 40-odd years later he'll be sitting here in Humeridge listening to some guy at the front talk about Christianity Explained. But what we have done in recent times, and today's a special day in that sense, is we're sort of relaunching. I'm not sure that's even the right word, but we've updated the graphics. We have written a kid's version of Christianity Explained, age-appropriate in two different age groups, and we've run it here at the church, and we now have that available. It'll be on the website today for free download for anyone who needs that. So churches, we've already had a number of churches approach us and want to run Christianity Explained for kids. We've also written a version for youth, for teenagers, and we've run that here in a youth church. And many of you would know our youth church is about 70 kids at the moment. And soon, we're working on that, probably second or third term, that'll also be available on the website. And, of course, we've done a new website. We've filmed Christianity Explained. We have a video that's in post-production. So that will be available very soon, probably second term. Next Saturday, Denise and I will be running a Christianity Explained program for Gatton Church of Christ down in Gatton. Already we're seeing a global impact. We've been approached in only the last few weeks from missionaries from Turkey, Sri Lanka and Nepal wanting help and access to Christianity Explained and asking for training. One of our local hospitals, which is a Christian hospital, will run the Christianity Explained video on a loop on their Christian station. Since July, over 400 downloads of Christianity Explained have occurred through the website across 21 countries. So we are having, I've got to be careful here. This is not about Christianity Explained per se. It's certainly not about Bob and Denise. This is about sharing the gospel, using Christianity Explained as a tool. So over 21 countries have downloaded. We're really seeing an amazing things happen. We've had, in the last couple of weeks, 70 American churches have downloaded Christianity Explained. I don't know why that's happened, but it's happening. I did want to say to you that we have an amazing team of people here in this church. Just so talented, so enthusiastic, and have been working so hard because of their love for Jesus and using the gifts that they have been given to share the gospel. So first of all, Ross has been so encouraging and supportive. Jenny Saville's on the team. And here is the team. We have Jake Lodder, Chrissy Lodder, who you saw doing the promo, Christy Fielder, Tammy Mastella, Jason Higlett, Rachel Bagel Willis, as she's known, Jackson Saville, Rani Roberts, and of course, Emily Gask. Is that how you say your last name, Em? Emily Gask. A wonderful group of people that God has brought together for such a time as this. You know, my guess is that many of you would not have heard of the name of Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball, from all accounts, was a very shy, nervous Sunday school teacher in the 1850s. Now, Edwell really felt a burden for the young boys in his Sunday school class. And he really felt that some of them weren't taking the message of the gospel seriously. And he felt particularly burdened for one man, or one young man. And even though he was nervous, he was obedient and said yes, and decided that he would go and talk to this young man. And he did. He went to the shoe shop where this young man was working, and he shared the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus with this young man. That young man was a man by the name of Dwight L. Moody, as some of you would have heard of. Dwight L. Moody became a very famous evangelist across two continents, led thousands to the Lord. But that's not the end of the story. Under Dwight L. Moody, another man's heart was touched for God. There was a guy by the name of Wilbur Chapman. Chapman also became an evangelist who preached to thousands. But that's not the end of the story. Under him, another man became a Christian. And that man was a man by the name of Mordecai Ham. Mordecai became a noted evangelist. It's believed that he won over 300,000 converts. But that's not the end of the story. When Mordecai Ham, came to North Carolina, there was a sandy-haired, lanky young man, then in high school, who heard the message, responded to the invitation, gave his life to the Lord. That young man was Billy Graham. Now, it's estimated that Billy Graham shared the gospel with over 2.2 billion people through his radio ministry and through his crusades. 2.2 billion. But that's not the end of the story. We have no idea of the stories of that 2.2 billion people, of the lives that have been impacted, the families that have been impacted, how even communities have been impacted because they heard of the love of Jesus. So thinking all the way back to Mr. Kimball, the nervous, shy school teacher, he had no idea of the impact that sharing his faith would have. We don't either. When you share your faith with someone, we really don't understand the full impact. So what's next? What's next? If you are here or online and you are just checking out church, checking out Christianity, can I encourage you to keep going, to keep searching, to keep looking, do a Christianity Explained course, do an Alpha course, talk to a pastor or a Christian friend, but keep looking. Our hope with Christianity Explained is to reach as much of the world as possible. There are opportunities now because of the internet and digital technology that weren't possible even a few years ago. We want to see it translated into as many languages as possible. As I mentioned before, we've already had contacts in different parts of the world. We want to make the resources free and readily available. We want to offer support to other churches that need it. We want to train others in how to run Christianity Explained. So what can you do? You can say yes. Remember Dwight L. Moody, the man that I mentioned a moment ago? The story is that he prayed daily for 100 of his friends to become Christians, and 96 of them gave their lives to the Lord. The other four gave their lives to the Lord at Dwight L. Moody's funeral. But he prayed daily for them. We don't need to pray daily for 100 people, but we can pray daily for one. So will you consider praying daily for at least one person for them to be saved, but pray until it happens, whether that takes a day, a week, a year, or the rest of your life? That's one thing you could do. I'll ask you to pray for the ministry of Christianity Explained, and that others will also learn to present the gospel. In the Bible, Matthew 9:36-38, it says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, 'The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers to the field. You can invite people to church. You could do CE in your life groups. We've had a few life group leaders approach us asking when the video is ready because they want to run it as a series in your life group. So do that. One powerful thing that we can do, which we all should do, is learn to give your testimony. What would you do if someone came to you and said, look, I really want to understand what this Christianity is about. What is it about? Or why do you believe? Could you respond? And look, learn to give your testimony. Now, a testimony, by the way, is not your life story. A testimony should be 3 or 4 minutes max. When we talk to non-Christians, what we often do is we refer to the Bible, quite rightly, because that's our foundation. But to a lot of non-Christians, that doesn't mean anything. Well, they can dispute the Bible in their own mind, but what they can't dispute is what God has done in your own heart. So maybe in your life groups, practice giving your testimony to each other so that you are ready to give that account. 1 Peter 3:15 says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have a right response for everyone. I have to say that there are enormous benefits in learning to share your faith. There's the obvious benefit of seeing people come to the Lord and seeing their lives change. Denise and I have been extraordinarily blessed over the years to see so many people's lives change. We have seen literally people change in front of us. We have seen families change. We have seen just so many amazing things. And now we have many lifelong, in fact, eternal friends. When you share your faith, it helps you in your own faith. One of the great joys for us in doing Christianity Explained is that we keep coming back to the main thing all the time, and it keeps us grounded. Sharing your faith with someone is the only thing you can't do in heaven. We are so grateful for the support and encouragement we receive from all of you, from Humeridge, for your prayers, for your support, for your financial assistance. We're just overwhelmed, actually, and we just praise God for each of you. We love this church. So blessed that Michael Bennett wrote this course all those years ago, that now we have a vehicle to share our faith in a clear, compelling and powerful way. We're humbled that Humeridge is now, if you like, the centre or the hub for Christianity Explained, and our desire is to reach as many people as we possibly can with the good news of Jesus. We'd dearly love to train others in how to run the course. We started this when we were in our 30s. We've been doing it for a long time now. We're praying for the next generations. So if you're feeling any kind of prompting, say yes. Say yes. Denise and I will be very happy to run training programs if people are interested. And I can tell you, as a couple, it's been terrific. It's really helped our marriage. It's helped us to appreciate each other's gifts even more. It's been a great blessing. But however, this isn't the end of the story. Can't wait to see what God will do next.